Peter's denial. Peter's denial. Very few events are covered by all four gospel narratives. For instance, the details of the birth of Christ is only recorded in two of the Gospels. Now, all four give the story of the cross, his entrance into Jerusalem, his trial, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. But did you know that only one of the miracles of Christ is recorded by all four Gospels? The feeding of the 5,000. And there is one other event that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And you know what it is? Peter's denial. There's so much we can learn from this. Over the years, I've heard this phrase many times. He was a great man of God. There's no such thing. I hope we won't ever use language like that. They're weak, sinful, flawed, contradictory men whom God uses to demonstrate the greatness of His grace. And such was Peter. In the list of the disciples, he's always mentioned first. Every list, Peter comes first. He, throughout his life, was a flawed man whom the Lord used greatly. I've heard people say, well, there was pre-Pentecost Peter and post-Pentecost Peter. Pre-Pentecost, he denied Christ, was fearful before that little maid, and then look at that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, his boldness and courage in the book of Acts. Well, I can also show you in Galatians chapter 2, where he had to be publicly reprimanded by Paul, and he was actually denying the gospel by his actions. That's post-Pentecostal Peter. What faith he demonstrated when he got out of the boat. Can you imagine putting your hand or your leg over the edge of the boat and walking on the water? What faith he demonstrated. None of the rest of them did that. But you know, somehow I kind of think he was thinking that too. And he looked at the wind boisterous. And what happened? He began to sink. And you know, I don't think it was a gradual sink. You know, when somebody sinks in the water, plump! And the Lord grabbed him by the hand as that took place and pulled him out. What faith he demonstrated in Matthew chapter 16 when he answered the Lord's question, "Whom say men that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what faith is. Faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. It has wholly to do with what you believe concerning Him. And the Lord said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And you know, in that same chapter, what amazing arrogance and stupidity was displayed when he took it upon himself to rebuke the Lord. When the Lord talked about himself going to the cross, not so, Lord, no, it shall not be unto thee. That's when the Lord said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." You know, he was one of the three chosen to see the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a blessed thing. The special three, really, Peter, James, and John. Somebody says, explain that to me. I'm not even going to try. But what privilege he was given. And during that time, I don't suppose anybody made a more horrible statement than he did when he said, let's make three tabernacles. That's for the purpose of worship. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. How blasphemous that statement was. It was Peter who foolishly said when the Lord was washing the disciples' feet, thou shalt never wash my feet. He was far too humble to let that take place. But after the Lord said, except I wash you, you have no part with me, he said, wash my hands and head too. You know, even after the resurrection, it was Peter who said, I go fishing. And I don't believe he was talking about the way you and I would say we want to go fishing. He was saying, I'm over this disciple business. I'm going back to be a fisherman. And several of the disciples followed him. Now, in Mark chapter 14, verse 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all of them, Judas has already gone out, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And you know they were. Every one of them forsook the Lord. And look at what the Lord says next. He quotes a passage of scripture from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, to let us know that this was ordered by God. He said, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now, I've always wondered about that verse. I'll smite the shepherd, that's going to cause the scattering of the sheep? Seems like it would cause the gathering of the sheep, doesn't it? But he says, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. This is a quotation from Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. That could only be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I picked out any man and said, he's like God. Oh, that's so wrong. There's none like him. Who are you comparing to me? But God could say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, not he's like me, he is me. The Lord said in John chapter 14, verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You know, all you can say to that is bow down and worship. Smite the shepherd, and that's speaking of the cross, and the sheep will be scattered. What's the point? Now, what would we be saying if some of them stayed with him during that time and demonstrated such courage and a commitment to Christ? And while maybe most of them left, maybe two or three stayed, you know what we'd do? We'd be talking about their courage, wouldn't we? We'd be talking about what great men they were. But understand this, the Lord's not going to permit that to happen. You see, he by himself purged our sins. He did it alone. He didn't have any of his disciples encouraging him, saying, we know you're doing this for us and we love you for doing it. No, they'd all fled. He didn't have his Father helping him at this time. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, in this thing of the salvation of his people, He did it by himself. By himself. Now look what he says in verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, why weren't they waiting at the tomb? On at least three, I think at least four even, occasions, he said, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And it just went over their head. But here he says it again. I wonder how many things go over our heads. We just don't hear. Did with them. But after I'm risen, I will go before you unto Galilee. Verse 29. And Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended. I can see John running. I've always suspected him of that. I can see Thomas. He's a doubting person. James, there's not that much to him. Matter of fact, I can see all these guys doing it, but not me. Although they all shall be offended, I will never be offended. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, you'll deny me three times. But he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I'll not deny thee in any wise. And he meant that when he said it, and he believed it when he said it. And the rest chimed in. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to deny you. We're not going to leave you. Turn with me to Luke's account for a moment. Luke chapter 22. Now, there were things going on that Peter didn't know anything about. And there's always things going on that you don't know anything about. But look what the Lord says in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, that is literally Satan has asked permission to have you. Now, why would Satan have asked for permission to the Lord to have Peter? Because the Lord directed him to. That's why. Now somebody says, you better be able to prove that with the scriptures. I can. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 24:1, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them, saying, go number Israel. Remember that? 70,000 people ended up dying as a result of that. The Lord moved David against them to do something that he forbid in his word. Now, 2 Chronicles 21 says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked them, David, to number Israel. Now, the first one says the Lord did it, and the second one says Satan did it. Now remember, Satan is God's pawn doing God's will. And this was all according to his purpose for Peter's good. You see, only the Lord and always the Lord brings good out of evil. And he brings good out of evil in this case. And he says to Peter, Peter was oblivious to this. He says, Simon, he doesn't even call him Peter at this time. He calls him Simon. Simon. Simon, Simon. Satan hath asked for permission to have you. that he may sift you as wheat. And I want you to think about how he turned Peter inside out. But I have prayed for thee. What? That you fail not? No. Peter needed to fall, didn't he? It was for his good. It was for our good. Peter needed to fall. But what does the Lord pray for Peter? That your faith fail not. Now, I'm going to get more into this in a few moments. But when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did, he died, denied him with oaths and cursing, as we're going to see. When he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't deny Christ. He denied his association with him. At no time did Peter ever quit believing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even while he was denying him, no doubt horrified that he was doing something, just going down and down and down. During that time, he never ceased to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And my dear friends, that's what faith is. Believing him. Now the Lord prayed for Peter. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, when the Lord prays, the Father answers him. He gives him whatever he asks. And there's no way Peter's faith is going to fail. And look what he says next in verse 32. And when thou art converted. Notice he didn't say when you convert. He said when you are converted. You will be. I'm going to do that. Strengthen thy brethren. Verse 33, Peter's reply. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter didn't get it, did he? Turn with me for a moment to John's account. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot not I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Now, before we go on reading, I want to remind you that verses and chapter divisions are man-made. They're not inspired. Now, I'm thankful for them. What if I had to say, you know, this is somewhere in the book of John, y'all start looking for it, you know, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? I'm thankful for chapter divisions, and I'm thankful for these verses. But this is one of the most unfortunate chapter divisions in the Word of God. Let me show you why. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down my life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, did you hear that? You're going to deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. How can that be? Well, turn with me to John 16. Here's the answer to that question. Verse 29, his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? You're talking big. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Where is your peace, Peter, in your courage, in your ability to not do what you're going to do? No, the only peace there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. In me, you might have peace. That's why I said, let not your heart be troubled. It has no reason to be troubled in the sense that your salvation is in me. Altogether. Completely. Now, the most striking thing of all four writers' description of Peter's denial is found in the words, I will. I will. Matthew 26:33, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You'll deny me three times, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Mark 14:29, though all shall be offended, yet will not I. The Lord tells him he will, and he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. He said in Luke 22:33, I'm ready, and the word is willing. I'm willing to go with thee both to prison and to death. John 13:37, I will lay down my life for thy sake. I will. I will. Now, anything that begins, in our experience, with an I will, there's three problems with it. Number one, it's grounded in an ignorance of God's character. You see, if you see who God is, it'll take the starch out of you. You won't be able to speak with such confidence about I will this or I will that, because you can't see who he is without seeing your own sinfulness. Secondly, it's grounded in an ignorance of my own character. If I knew myself better, I just wouldn't say that, would I? Thirdly, it's doomed for failure. Never leave, Lord, if you will. Don't ever leave that. Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean. Now, you're probably familiar with the story. Look back in Mark 14, verse 66. Mark 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, how did he get in the palace? Well, we know from John's account that John knew someone who let them in. And he was there watching during this mock trial. He was there within eyeshot of the Lord, because at one time their eyes met together during this time. But he was in the palace. And it was a cold night. He was warming himself. And when she saw Peter warming himself, She looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out of the porch, and the cock crew. And you can be sure he remembered every word the Lord said. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after that, they stood by, said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." What I thought of when Kevin Thacker was preaching here a month or so ago, or 2 months ago, but he's got a strong Eastern Kentucky way of speaking. You know where he's from. And I introduced him as a pastor from Southern California. And Tucker said to me, "That boy ain't from California." I said, "No, he's not. You're right about that." Well, Peter spoke like a Galilean. Everybody knew, you're one of those Galileans. Your speech exposes that. And what did he do? And he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." You know, during that time, we read where the Lord looked upon Peter. Not with disgust, not with anger. He knew exactly what Peter was going to do. "This was not said, but I'm dying for that sin too." And you know what Peter did? He went out and he wept. And Matthew's account says he wept bitterly. He hated himself for doing what he did, to sin against him, to deny association with the glorious Son of God, and me saying I don't even know him, denying him with cursing and swearing. I don't know if that's talking about bad language or making an oath. "I swear before heaven, I don't know the man." And I'll guarantee you this. Peter thought of the words of the Lord. "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now let me give you two things. Peter didn't know this, but he was experiencing the blessedness of "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And Peter was not the exception to the rule. He didn't deny Christ. He denied he knew him. He denied through cowardice his association with him. But he did not say, "This man is not the Christ. This man is not the Son of God." You see, Christ prayed for him, remember? "I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." And one thing that couldn't happen, Peter's faith could not fail because Christ prayed for him. But how he suffered. Weeping bitterly. And I guarantee you, he thought he was a reprobate. I guarantee you, he thought that the Lord was going to deny him before the Father. He thought he'd been cut off. He thought he'd been left to himself. Now let's close with Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. For it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted, and he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." You see, Peter thought he was no longer a disciple. And so the Lord says, "You tell his disciples, you make sure you tell Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he said unto you." Now, I have no doubt that Peter thought he was no longer a disciple. I would too. But you know, the only one who can tell you you are is the Lord himself. He said, "You go tell Peter." Now, you know what Peter has in common with me and you? Everything. Everything. Most especially, Peter had no doubt that the only way he could be saved is by what Christ did for him. Nothing else. That is what all of his people have in common. And I love the last words were given by Peter in Acts chapter 15. When they were arguing over the law, and he said, "Why are you trying to put a yoke on the disciples that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Now those Gentiles, the only way they can be saved is by grace. Same way with us. Let's pray.